From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Jay Barrett. Coming up this week, Togiak Herring opened up, direct marketing of salmon is getting a boost, and the delegation from the state's largest fishing port declined to sign a letter asking for a huge cut in bycatch. All that and more coming up on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you by commercial fishermen for Bristol Bay, permit holders and fishing groups standing together to protect and enhance the renewable fishing jobs and businesses of the Bristol Bay region.
Alaska's largest sacro herring fishery opened up Monday night after Fish and Game documented a biomass that reached the threshold of herring around Togiak. KDLG's Dave Benninger has more.
Herring have been arriving into Togiak District waters over the weekend, but on an aerial survey flown Monday, Area Management Biologist Tim Sands and staff documented the 35,000 tons needed to kick off the sacro fishery. They traced the coastline around the district's islands and blue water bays on a sunny afternoon flight, measuring the size of the dark schools of herring below.
Yeah, we got a fair bit of fish there and decided we'll open it up. This way people can get more in position and kind of get things in the next gear up so that when the fish are ready, they're ready.
On the grounds now are just over a handful of seiners and their buyers. Sands didn't see any gillnet boats yet, but imagines they'll make haste that direction. Even though the department is forecasting an above-average return of 163,000 tons of herring with an allowable catch of more than 29,000 tons, a lot of fishermen are sitting this one out on account of a price most had heard wouldn't be above $50 per ton and maybe less. There are a lot of herring already in the district, and Togiak herring are known for being quite a bit larger than are seen in other herring fisheries. But buyers are after the sacro, and they're waiting on the right maturity before the spawn when it's a little looser in the skein.
And right now, the skeins are hard, white, or just barely turning yellow, and it's all kind of bunched up. And as it ripens, that means the eggs kind of swell a little bit, get looser, and perfect is when they're just ready to come out, but they still hold together in a skein.
That may be another day or two. The fleet will do its own sampling and then get started on a likely 10 days or 2 weeks of fishing till their buyers have enough. For the next several days, it looks like the few fishing have good, calm, clear weather and next to no competition on the grounds. In Dillingham, I'm Dave Benninger.
When a dozen Alaska legislators sent a letter earlier this month to the North Pacific Fishery Management Council asking for a dramatic reduction in Bering Sea and Aleutian Island halibut bycatch, the names of Kodiak's legislators were missing. Representative Louise Stutes said a lack of input from her constituents prompted her decision not to sign.
My feelings were, I'm a messenger here. I carry the message of my constituents, whether it be Kodiak or Cordova or Yakutat, and I wasn't going to sign on a letter like that without input from them, from all the different sectors. And unfortunately, we were right in the middle of budget time, and I didn't have an opportunity to get that input.
Senator Gary Stevens said it was more of a gear-type debate that he had no place in, and admits some fishermen may not like his stance on the issue.
And I know some people are going to be offended and say, why didn't you do this or do that? But you really can't pit one fishery against another fishery. The decision is made elsewhere in any event, and so I chose not to sign it, and that's where I am on that issue.
Figures cited by the dozen legislators in their letter to the council's chair pointed out that halibut are a very mobile fish, with studies showing that 70% or more of those tagged in the Bering Sea are later caught in the Gulf of Alaska. Stevens says the Bering Sea trawl fleet has been working to reduce bycatch and needs more tools to reduce it further. Stutes says the waste is straight up cheating halibut fishermen.
Personally, yes, I think that the halibut bycatch absolutely needs to be reduced. I think that when you have a targeted fishery like halibut, and you have halibut IFQs, and you're prevented from fishing your IFQs because of the huge amount that has been taken in bycatch, there's a significant issue there. And I think it absolutely needed to be reduced.
A dozen coastal representatives and senators from Ketchikan to Cook Inlet to Bristol Bay, the Waikei Delta, and Nome signed on to the letter, which requested a 50% reduction in the halibut bycatch.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is supported in part by ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company.
An academic exercise in direct seafood sales has taken a step towards commercial viability. Sitka Salmon Shares was organized 5 years ago by a Midwestern college professor interested in connecting individual Alaskan fishermen directly with households in Galesburg, Illinois, as a way of teaching sustainable food systems. But Sitka Salmon Shares is now out of the classroom. With over 2,000 retail clients in 11 urban centers in the Midwest, the company this spring purchased a small Sitka processing plant and expects even more growth. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
It's called a Community Supported Fishery, or CSF. It's a spin-off of the CSA, or Community Supported Agriculture. Picture farmers who harvest and sell produce by the box directly to a list of customers in a nearby community. Farmers know who eats their food. Consumers know who produces it. It's a type of food system that forges bonds and communities in a way grocery stores don't. But what if those communities are 2,200 miles apart? Maybe it depends on what you're selling.
People love Sitka salmon. It's remarkable.
And salmon is easy to love. Done right, big, juicy fillets of king, coho, or sockeye sizzling on a grill can make for an unforgettable meal. So Sitka Salmon Shares founder, Professor Nick Mink, doesn't have to persuade people to purchase this experience. It's more a matter of giving them access.
One of our big goals is to provide this very seafood-starved part of the country with fish that they can't normally get at their grocery stores from a specific place, from a specific group of fishermen.
11 Southeast fishermen have partnered with Mink. Over the last couple of years, Sitka Salmon Shares has grown significantly, shipping fresh processed fish to a warehouse in Galesburg. From there, it's trucked to doorsteps in places like Chicago, Milwaukee, Madison, Peoria, and Bloomington. 2,000 households in 11 communities, and he's got 100 wholesale clients. But with growth comes a problem many businesses face: production capacity. To meet the increased demand, Sitka Salmon Shares was forced to spread out processing among several different plants in Sitka and in Juneau, plants which typically pool product from all their suppliers. But Mink says it's critical to a community-supported fishery that buyers know their producers. So he and his fishermen owners decided to purchase Big Blue Fisheries in Sitka. The 9,000-square-foot plant for the last several years has provided custom processing for sport and commercially harvested fish. Mink says that with significant upgrades in Big Blue's freezing and packaging equipment, it should allow Sitka Salmon Shares to preserve its individualized approach to seafood sales.
Or when fish comes in from Arskeel, or when fish comes in from Sarah Olin, or when fish comes in from Levi Egerton, it leaves the plant, and it gets to the Midwest as Marsh's or Levi's or Sarah's. And, so that precluded us working with some of the larger processors. And so it really was this need that the small guys were getting too small and the big guys were too big that made us think about making this acquisition, and ultimately led us to making this acquisition.
Big Blue, which will now be known as Sitka Salmon Shares Alaska, will retain many of its previous services, such as custom processing and smoking of sport-caught fish. But Mink says it will have an expanded retail area for local customers. And despite the name, Sitka Salmon Shares Alaska will offer the full range of locally available seafood, including cod, rockfish, and halibut. This is a lot for a college professor to have on his plate. Mink, who teaches environmental studies at Knox College in Galesburg, says he's scaling back his work there to half-time. But shifting his energy into this business doesn't mean that his academic interest in food has waned. Far from it.
The food system project that we're engaging in is the rebuilding of medium-scale processing, which has disappeared both in agriculture and in fisheries during the 20th century as the food system kind of consolidated. And I think one of the things that we're trying to do is rebuild a piece of that infrastructure so that we can have a viable mid-scale company and help facilitate our growth and maturation in the next 3 to 5 years.
Mink says Sitka Salmon Shares Alaska will open its processing line in the near future. A grand opening for the public is planned in June. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvests for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Juvenile salmon from one lake will soon have an easier path to the sea. Blythe Brown, the project coordinator at the Kodiak Soil and Water Conservation District, says improving the culverts in the Lake Orban tributary to the Russian River will ease them on their way.
The old culvert was only 3 feet diameter. The new culverts are 7 feet diameter, and the stream bed is going to be built right through the culvert so the young juvenile fish can swim through more easily.
Brown says they've been working on the culverts for 3 years, from conception to installation. Bill Rice is the South Central Alaska Fish Path Engineer for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. He says streams like Orban can have a long-term effect on fish populations.
This gained in importance in our view because it was a unique feature where some significant rearing habitat could be accessed and used.
Rice says there are 4 culverts in the stream and that they serve more than one purpose.
Typically, we're also increasing the size and flood capacity of these crossings, and so we like to say we're improving fish and better flood capacity at the same time.
He says the budget is about $250,000. Brown adds that the Fish and Wildlife Service was the major funder. A Seldovia man active in local fishery issues was found dead in the waters near his Kenai Peninsula community on Monday. KBBI's Shady Grove Oliver has more.
68-year-old Robert Purpura of Seldovia was identified Monday night after an extensive search throughout the day. Alaska State Troopers report they were contacted by Seldovia pilot Keith Gain, who said he was searching for a missing boater. Gain told troopers he'd located Purpura's skiff floating near McDonald's Spit, with the motor still running. Purpura was reported missing after being several hours overdue, coming home from Jackaloff Bay. Responders notified the U.S. Coast Guard, and troopers from Anchor Point responded in the PV Augustine. Several private vessels were out searching the area around Seldovia as well. Just after 7 p.m., the crew of a fixed-wing aircraft from Homer spotted a body floating in the water about a mile north of McDonald Spit. Search vessels surrounded the area, and Purpura's body was recovered and identified. Troopers report the state medical examiner was contacted and no foul play is suspected. Next of kin has been notified. Purpura was a well-known and well-liked community member around the Southern Peninsula. According to friends, he was a longtime resident of Little Tutka, where he lived and raised his children on a houseboat. He then moved to Seldovia, where people were attracted to his colorful and boisterous character. He was serving as the chair of the Seldovia Fish and Game Advisory Committee and was active in local public affairs. He is survived by family and friends. In Homer, I'm Shady Grove Oliver.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
And that's all for this edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help this week from KDLG's Dave Benninger in Dillingham, KCAW's Robert Woolsey in Sitka, KMXT's Kayla DeRoche in Kodiak, and KBBI's Shady Grove Oliver in Homer. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Jay Barrett.